live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 227. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. Big show tonight. We've got the NFL to talk. We're going to recap Colts and Chiefs, Dolphins and Bills, Packers and Bucks. We've got the whole entire NFL we're going to talk tonight. We've got a preview for next week's games. Colts and Titans live from Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll talk of that. College football, our rundown from the college football weekend, as well as what we're looking forward to with the following college football week. Tanner Penrod's going to call in. We'll do an update with our picks and pick them. We've got some quick hitters to note tonight, so good show this evening. I've got my co-host with me, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Doing fine, man. Doing fine, Crossroads, man. It's good to be back in the fold, man. Brandon, I'm sure you went already down the show list, man. But where do we start tonight?
Yeah, let's. I want to start in with the NFL. I do want to say, man, the images that are coming out of Florida in the Fort Myers, Naples area are just ruthless. Looks horrible with the flooding, the hurricane that's hitting down there. So friends and family down there, stay safe. I've got people down there, John. It just looks bad. And I know it doesn't mean much because some people are going to lose their lives there staying and everything, but it just looks really, really, really bad down there. And hell, we just booked our honeymoon last week that's going to be down there. So I don't know what's going to be left of Fort Myers by the time we get down there in January. So hopefully they can rebuild. And, the whole area down there just looks very, very devastated. So hopefully everybody will end up being safe there and they can, rebuild down there in South Florida. So let's dive in the NFL, John. Colts, Chiefs. Colts win 20-17. I said I put the audio out that, hey, I was taking the Colts spread and money line, John. It looks like it paid off. Indianapolis Colts, 20-17 winners. They came out, played with like their head on fire. It wasn't the greatest game played. The Colts, I think it was more, and people have been talking all week, kind of, did the Colts win it or did the Chiefs lose it? I think it's a mixture of both, honestly. But the Colts, it wasn't, there's still troubling issues there with that organization. Right. The offensive line gave up 5 sacks to Matt Ryan, and that is a little bit troublesome there. It was good to see Alec Pierce, 3 catches, 61 yards. That was great. The running game wasn't as much there per se, but Colts found a way to get it done. It was ugly, but they got it done.
It was ugly, man. You have to like another like I would say a like takeaway is the defense stopped the run. I mean, not stopped the run, but they could contain the run pretty much all day. I mean, we know Kansas City doesn't necessarily have a glorified, two thousand yard running back or anything like that. But the Colts, contain the run. If you can contain a portion of whatever offense you're facing on a week basis, man, you'll have success, man. And like I said, Colts have stepped up in that regard. Just a real ugly game. They made it ugly all game for Kansas City, and then some of the play calling from the sideline for Kansas City became mind-boggling, going for a fake punt and whatnot, man. So, man. Again, and to win any game, whether it's a regular, week 3 or week 4 football game or even Super Bowl, you got to be good, and you also got to be got to have a little luck. And the Colts had both this past Sunday. They walk away with a much needed win, Brandon, because if you can't compete against the Kansas City and beat the Kansas City, like, then what really is your football season from a standpoint? And you're all chips in. That's your mantra, being all chips in. What are you
chips
doing? In. I do a comment. Like, what's your season really stand for? So they can't lay an egg. They can't come out flat against Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? I know we can't rest our laurels on beating Kansas City. We being the Colts, they can't rest their laurels on beating Kansas City. So, you know, got a short, you know what I'm saying, got to have short-term memory and play like your head's on fire again against Tennessee this weekend.
Jacksonville, not that bad now? That loss to them, not that bad?
Hey, man, I mean, I'm not that guy that says 2-2, you know what I'm saying, when he kind of calls something, when he kind of sings something. Yeah, again, man, what did they really put around him last year, what has been going on with the whole roster rules prior to the regime they have right now? You know what I'm saying? What do they really have the supportive staff around Trevor Lawrence? You're removed from Urban Meyer, now they have it. You know, so I can't necessarily say that Brandon. Had they kind of just competed in that game against the Chargers and they say they lost, you know what I'm saying, a real close one like 4 or 5 or 6 points, you know what I'm saying, we still would have walked away with their respect. That's a road win. They went on, right. They went into, you know, L.A., and that's a road win. So, again, they're not necessarily perfect just yet, but they look awful good. And, like I said, Trevor Lawrence is playing poised. And if you have that, you have those two combinations, man. Again, you have the Jacksonville. I bet you they like to play that. They could be 3-0 because that game against Commanders was close. So again, man, you know, the Jacksonville, have they turned the corner into becoming the AFC, all AFC, you know what I'm saying, favorite to beat or be to play spoiler to a team like Buffalo? Or I don't think so, Brandon. But they have kind of shown that they can be. They're going to be competitive at least for the South Division crown for sure.
Colts wise, have you ever seen a bigger cheerleader on the sideline that apparently is hurt, jumping around, Darius Leonard. I think Shaquille is the retired version of Darius. I think that's what it is. And so that's what's going on. But,
you haven't heard anything about him playing though, have you?
No, nope.
So I kind of thought he'd be, you know what I'm saying, back on the, you know, not necessarily on the sideline, but I thought he'd be back playing. And maybe they're, you know what I'm saying, they're kind of taking it easier. If he's not back by week 4, then maybe he's back by, week 7? I don't know.
I think, and D-Cut's messaging question. So Frank is now a good coach, ? Matt is now a top 10 QB, ?
No.
One win doesn't define you. Anybody can get up for one game, right? Yeah, that was a must win. So there, I still have them on my list as a below average team because you got to see more than that consistently. For now, Jim Irsay may think that his team now, that Frank Wright is a good coach and that Matt's a top 10 quarterback, but he says, let's relax then, please. Who's getting all hyped? I don't think it was you or me, was it?
No, man.
I think we're just stating the facts because they won the game.
They're still in like a must-win situation against Tennessee. Tennessee coming off a win.
They don't have an identity right now.
Well, Tennessee, right, banged up as well because I do believe they just lost their right tackle, a starter right tackle. Tennessee is like this again. You, this is a team you want to take again, a winnable game, something that you want to take advantage of. Again, the Colts don't necessarily look as perfect as they should as well. So it's going to be it shouldn't be a game that the Colts going to roll by 17. It should be if they play their heads on fire, best football, they'll come out victorious. Again, you know, say Colts, like I said, from the statistics standpoint, they are I think top one or top two. And like I said, run defense, man. And like I said, it's going to get tested for sure this weekend, right, with Tennessee coming in. But, again, I think the Colts are good enough to at least, you know what I'm saying, pull their season out of their, you know what I'm saying, out of the gutter and win this weekend.
Yeah, if you look at their schedule, John, next coming up, they've got home against Tennessee, winnable just because it's a home game, which makes it a little bit more winnable for you. At Denver, which right now Denver looks like hot garbage, and that's a Thursday night game. Denver just looks horrific, and that coach doesn't know how to coach. Russell Wilson looks like a different quarterback out there. He looks like he got neutered from Sierra. He just looks like a different. And then you're home against Jacksonville, and then you're at Tennessee. So right there, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 of your 6 conference game or division games that are going to be done by the time you're done before the end of October. And then you got Carson Wentz and a Washington team that looks trash. You got a New England team that looks bad with Mac Jones out. You got a Las Vegas Raiders team that's winless and looks bad. I mean, I'm just saying, then you've got Philly at home, Pittsburgh at home. Pittsburgh looks bad. At Dallas, at Minnesota. I mean, just looking at it, John, they're going to have games coming up where it's no excuse for them to lose to those games. Denver looks bad. You got Jacksonville, Tennessee, okay, whatever. Washington looks bad. New England looks bad. Las Vegas looks bad. All that can change. But right now, man, this is a big game here against Tennessee. Let's just see how good this Frank Reich team, because anybody can get up for one game. Can you repeat the process? Can you get up every week and the same players show up? Like I said, they gave up 5 sacks, John. It looked like a turnstile over there on that left tackle on Sunday. Here's my other question about the game. Penalties, unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever Chris Jones said. What do you think Chris Jones said? What would Matt Ryan say that would piss you off so bad that you would say something? I almost don't think it was even directed at Matt Ryan. I think I watched a couple replays of it. It looked like he was saying it to the refs.
Brandon, they it's like they're keeping that in the house, man. They don't want it to leak out. They definitely don't want no, you know what I'm saying, a player abusing officials. You know what I'm saying? Any type of information like that. So I couldn't tell you. I don't know, dude. I thought it was one of the most boneheaded things because you cause your team momentum. In a high stake, you know, you're saying in a highly contested game, I don't know what he could potentially could have said though, that would netted a penalty like that on sportsman.
Yeah, I just I don't know, but definitely a boneheaded play, for that to happen right there. So it's crazy that's gonna happen. We've got Dolphins and Bills, John. I thought great game. Great. The Bills ran 90 plays, John, and Miami ran 39. That's the highest discrepancy in NFL game history of that. And they almost blew it with the kick and the punt right up in your own your wing blocker's butt with the ball. But Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins find a way. They beat Josh Allen, obviously the secondary was gone. There was no secondary there for the Bills, decimated with injuries. But and here's my other thing. They need to watch what play calls they pull for Josh Allen, because the way he's running, John, at some point he's going to get hurt, unfortunately, I feel like. He's opening himself up for big-time injury. And if he gets hurt, count the season over for Buffalo.
Yeah. Brandon, I mean, that was a high-stakes game, was it not? Tua gets hurt. You know what I'm saying? A lot of speculation with him in this season, man. A lot of speculation with Stephen Ross and, you know what I'm saying, and the off-season turmoil that he's facing with being at, you know what I'm saying, with the accusations and whatnot. But, no, man, so every game for them is a high-stakes game because, you know, Tua's being evaluated. And that's the truth. Tua Tagovailoa is being evaluated. But not toughness and all that. You know, so not just if he can make all the throws. Not just if he's, you know what I'm saying, if they wasn't lost, he's being evaluated, man. Some speculation. Was he a little concussed out there? I don't know, man. If he's out there playing, still got his helmet on, man. If the team's got to protect him from himself, they need to do that. But he was out there and he finished the game, man. So you got to tip your hat to that. Huge win for Miami. Huge win for Emory. Just don't, as they've been known in the past, Brandon, just don't have a letdown. That's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Miami looks like the real deal this year. They got a big win tomorrow night coming up here to Cincinnati to take on a Bengals team that's looking desperate for a win. But they got some slick uniforms, Cincinnati, wearing the all-white tomorrow night.
Uh-oh.
The field's all white. The end zones have went from orange to like a white and everything. So it looks slick. I can't wait for it. Should be a good game. And this was another one of those games. I think Joe Burrow and the Bengals get it figured out for this game here. I think they end up beating the Dolphins tomorrow night and give themselves a nice victory going into the next one. Steelers, Browns, John, kind of went how I expected. Did the offense change up as I had my big rant from last week? It did. I saw a little bit of change. They rolled Mitch out a little bit more for passes. The run game is still very much absent. Defense, yeah, you can't stop the run, Nick Chubb. He's going to end up getting his yards. But
right.
I don't know. It's interesting that, I mean, you got the Jets coming to town this week. Zach Wilson's first game back. Is that the type of one where you think maybe you roll out? I don't. And do you roll out Kenny? I think if there's a week to do it, you would do it this week. But Tomlin's not going to, and
right. You
don't want to do it next week. If we lay a dud this week against the Jets, you don't want to do it next week because you don't want him to start out going at Buffalo. I'm sorry, you don't. If it looks bad and the Boo Birds come out at halftime this week against the Jets, maybe you put him in at halftime. You know, the people have flirted around saying it's crazy enough that do they go Mason Rudolph and you just sit Kenny the entire year. I know that's what I'm hearing though, John. I don't think it's the case, but the offense is, and you got to catch the ball. Deontay Johnson had catches. Chase Claypool had catches. You got to catch the ball when Mitch is putting it there. You bitch about Mitch not throwing it. Well, once he actually goes downfield, you got to catch the ball. Pickens had an amazing catch Thursday night. I mean, that was Odell Beckham-esque that he had. But we'll see. I'm taking Mitch again. Let's do Mitch 4.0. Let's see what he does, if we can improve this offense a little bit more. See what happens.
This is still the Pittsburgh Steelers. I say still be optimistic, Brandon. You haven't necessarily, it doesn't sound like it, but you haven't necessarily hit the panic attack button just yet. But
no, there ain't no panic this year, man. This is a house money year.
Dude, you say all that, dude, and Pittsburgh Live is going on a two to three game win streak. So we'll put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
Yeah. Update, Aaron Judge, first at bat tonight, going for 61, gets another walk. So
they're not going to pitch to him, man.
So I won money last night. I started doing every single at-bat with him. I just put it as a walk. It was like plus 300 for every at-bat. I won four times last night on it.
They're not gonna pitch to him. It's unfortunate. It's just how baseball is kind of managed out. He'll still get big dollars in free agency. I don't know if that fickle, crazy New York fan base. I mean, I know we're supposed to talk about football. I don't know if that crazy New York fan base. Do they want him to break the record? Because I feel like Roger Maris is like a sacred cow, man, you know, and I get it.
Roger's son doesn't mind.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I get it. Technically, the record's already broken, right? But, like, we're on Aaron Judge watch, and it's like, it's not going to happen, man. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know what I'm saying, it's going to happen when I go, you know, I got it on TV. And I go, like, you know, saying into the kitchen to get some popcorn or something. Then boom, he's hit two home runs. Like, you know what I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. So I don't know, man. But like, how fickle is that market going to be if he does or doesn't? I'm just curious. Maybe Sweet Lou will call in and let us know.
I don't know. I'm on Aaron Judge watch. Yankees are already up 3-0. every at bat, I'm putting a bet on his at bat. I'm taking a bet on every bat at bat. So we'll see. What else I got? Packers and Bucks, John. Bucks had every single person basically injured wide receiver wise. Brady didn't have anybody to throw to. 14-6. Packers win a ugly one in Tampa. Aaron Rodgers in the pack. Not that bad.
Yeah, we knew. Well, they still got some things to work out. But we knew that the post world of Tom Brady without Gronkowski was going to look a lot different, and it has. It looks really. I mean, Gronkowski was a security blanket for Tom Brady. So there's still time. I mean nobody's going to count out Tampa Bay. At any point, so there's still time for them to kind of turn around. But playing against a team like Green Bay, or teams like Green Bay, it appears Tampa Bay is going to have their act cut. Unless there's really not nobody else out there in free agency for them to pick up, you know, to improve. This is the team that they have to kind of go with for the duration. So, I think at some point they kind of figure out I don't think Gronkowski's coming out of retirement. I really don't. So this is the team that kind of, this is the team they go to war with in a winnable division. Brandon, like, nobody who's scary in that NFC South. Nobody besides them. You know what I mean? So, head scratcher today to 2-3 weeks from now, man, we'll be like, man, damn, Tampa Bay's in the driver's seat.
Last thing real quick, is everybody all right out there in Vegas?
You mean, are you talking about, I don't know, what is going on out there? It's not necessarily mind boggling. So I wish I had a chalkboard. I don't. So, the offensive coordinator, longtime offensive coordinator, right? From New England. He leaves New England to become the head coach of the Vegas Raiders, right? He's flirted around. He told the coach one time yes, and then he's like, you know what, coach, I'm not coming, right? Brandon, I can't even say his name on our airwaves because we can't. Like, we're never, as a former Colts fan, you know, I can't repeat his name. You can, but, right? So he was supposed to go to the Las Vegas Raiders to improve, like, they were supposed to, like, want to, like, Gruden. They went through the whole bull crap with Gruden and, you know what I'm saying, the interim coach, who now looks like you should have retained him, right? They should have, like, this dude's over here now, and it's like, it's not the same team. It's not the same system.
Right.
It's not the same, you know, at all. None of the things that even John Gruden had the team doing. You know what I'm saying? The special teams looks like crap now. So, does Josh McDaniel, right, does he need to go back to New England? Because they're struggling. They got Joe Judge, man. Joe Judge, I don't know if Joe Judge, how did he, we would have to go look in Joe Judge's resume at some point, man. But the offensive coordinator situation that's going on in New England is crap. And whatever has happened to the synergy, and I would say the Raiders were one of the hottest teams, like, the last 2 weeks of the season last year, and, like, at least that, you know, saying that first week of the playoffs, they had a lot of, like, you could see where, like, they, you know, they had a little bit of that, you know, just a little bit of just like what the Bengals had, you know, they wasn't
right.
Necessarily great overall, offensively or defensively, especially, but just had a little bit, you know, saying, you know, to get if the odds favor you, right, you know, to get have fortune favors you, right.
Uh-huh.
They had enough to beat anybody on any day. So, again, man, but right now, 0-3, it's not looking pretty, man. And it's looking like they'll be having – I know we go through this every year, though, Brandon, David Carby. It looks like this really might be the end for it, man, because maybe the pieces don't fit. Maybe the new coach doesn't fit this particular quarterback and vice versa. They went out and got Devontae Adams. I thought this was supposed to be the cherry on top.
Yeah.
The Vegas Raiders supposed to be 3-0, not 0-3. Case closed.
Okay. I do want to give a round of applause real quick.
There we go.
Everybody, round of applause, a round for everybody. that the NFL has finally, as I've told you, John, year after year, they have finally nixed the Pro Bowl. Thank God. That day is a sacred day. It's a sacred day for the
You wanted to rub that in my face, man. Come on.
It's a sacred day for the Royal Rumble. They don't need no trashy Pro Bowl. You're going to get a skills comp and a flag football game, which already was a flag football game. So what the hell is the big difference? Thank God they're getting rid of the Pro Bowl. They finally have listened.
I'm disappointed.
I know you are. I know you are.
I'm disappointed. All right.
We got our guy real quick. We'll bring him on. D-Cott, what's going on?
Fellas, hey, a lot of good topics today, right? So I hit a few of them really quickly. Brandon, my upset special this weekend as Jets over the Steelers, man. The Steelers were losing the defensive end. It kind of shows where they are from a defensive perspective. They're like a donut, man. They got a hole in the middle, hole on the outside. And also the bigger part is you got a quarterback who we talked about this, man, about 8 weeks ago. And you talked about how, you know, Mitch Trubisky was going to be that, you know he learned something in Buffalo. What he learned was that he ain't in Buffalo anymore. So, and I'm not a Jets guy.
Oh, damn.
They got an angry defense, and they got a young quarterback who's coming back with a high-energy coach. Take the Jets and the points for that one, just sharing that with you, right? The other thing you all talked about was the team that plays here downtown, right? That's great that they had a great win this weekend. What do you do to follow it up? That's going to be your bigger deal. And, Brandon, I got to give you credit, man. You called it last, like, Monday prior to the game. You were saying at the time it was 6.5, and you said you were taking the Colts, and you felt really good about it. So I give you credit for that, man. So big thumbs up. But with that said, though, you got to follow it up with something good. And if you don't do that, the win this past weekend will mean nothing. So those are my two NFL takes. College football, I've said this. Until week 6, you shouldn't bring a poll out anyway. You got all this emotion going on and these fan bases and these teams and this energy. Let's wait till about week 6 or so and see how the dust settles. You've got Georgia, who played like garbage last week, right? Who I think is still the best team in the country. But based on the dynamic, they should have dropped about 3 or 4 because they looked bad against a really, really was a division two team. So
I can't have them drop 3 or 4 now.
No. I'm talking Jonathan, I'm talking about on the perspective, right? So they look bad. They look really bad. So if you're talking about how you look against a bad team, you should drop. Because Bama's tough game was against, I said the name, okay, that team in
Texas
next to Mississippi had a challenging game against Texas, right? Everybody knows you're going to be up for that team. And that's even strengthening my point about waiting on those polls about till week 6. And check this out. Well, so we're 3 weeks in, right? So in the next 3 weeks, that team that's next to Mississippi has Tennessee, Arkansas, and they've got A&M. At the end of that, then we'll see where everybody is. Because we all know everything runs through the SEC. So then we'll see what happens. Let's not get too excited about wins or losses and all that. We can't get excited about that, man. So let's just wait and see what happens.
Hey, D-Cock, can I get your opinion on something?
Man, of course, in my opinion, of course. Come on, John. You know that. I mean,
am I crazy for taking Bama, Arkansas under 60? Arkansas's got a decent defense.
Matter of fact, I'm taking Arkansas in the points, by the way. It's 16.5, man. Bama, when they're double two touchdown favorites on the road, I don't know the stats because I'm not looking, but I would be willing to bet you over the last 5 years, two touchdown favorites on the road, they're less than 50%.
Maybe I just like the under 60. I do.
Huh?
So I like that under 60. I think Arkansas's got a good defense. Yeah. They're going to want to come out with the fire into their ass enough. I just hope it's not. I hope Alabama's defense shows up too. So
let me tell you this: there's two things, right? Because the week is coming up. Two things to think about, right? Arkansas gave that game away last week, right? And I'm not talking about KJ's, leap from the 3-yard line. They gave it away because they were up 2 touchdowns and they took their foot off the gas. They're going to kick themselves up. The OC is not that dude, right? So I think Arkansas is going to come out fired up. If you remember last year, they gave Bama the toughest game in the regular season, including the SEC championship game. I'm taking Arkansas in the points, and it wouldn't surprise me if they beat them outright. Secondly, that team that's next to Mississippi, their offense pedestrian at best right now. There's no creativity. And you can say, they got young receivers. They got a young O-line. They had young receivers and a young O-line last year, minus Williams and Mechie, right? So that hasn't changed. So Bill O'Brien has reeled in the offensive creativity, and they're going to be in a bad shape if that game is close. If Arkansas gets out in the lead, yeah, Bama playing desperate, those things. But I just don't think they're going to play desperate for 4 quarters, which tells me Arkansas and the points is your lean that way, man. And you all know I'm a Bama guy, but I'm just telling you, man, not the same.
No way.
They're very creative. All right, Jonathan. But they're just not that team. They're not the creative power, right? And I believe that in the next three games, if they don't lose to Arkansas, watch Tennessee.
Everybody should be watching Tennessee right now. Tennessee be one of the hottest teams in the nation.
Hey, but Jonathan, I said that, man, before the season started, though. We talked about this.
I didn't. I thought there was going to be a line of wine and cheese carryover from Tennessee's and Purdue from the bowl game, and this is not your underperforming Phil Fulmer Tennessee football team.
Here's your challenge. Does Tennessee have the depth to play in the fourth quarter? Think about this, man. They're going to play all night.
Well, I thought they were going to lose to Florida. I thought Florida was going to come back in that game. I don't know why. I thought hopefully Florida was going to win, and they didn't. And the good thing for Tennessee this year is that Auburn stinks this year. Matter of fact, Auburn stinks to the team. They're probably going to fire their coach. He can go back out to Boise State.
Yeah, and you make a good point there. But I'm going to tell you this regarding back to Tennessee. One of the challenges they've had this year is it's going to be depth, right? They're a good team from the first, 25, 26 players. But football is a four-quarter game. And they're going to come out hyped and excited. And that quarterback's a good player, right? He's a good player. But if you take a look at him, man, he locks in on receivers, man. He locks in.
From what I've seen out of Tennessee this year, they couldn't be on a neutral field. They couldn't be Alabama or Georgia, right? No. Anybody else got to fall in line though this year with this Tennessee team.
Yeah. Their deal will be next year, man. When they've added some depth, when they've added some better players, the challenge is going to be, like I said, the depth for them this year. But they'll be at home. Right? So the crowd will give you that 3 points, as we talk about, right? The crowd gives you 3 points. But are you going to expend so much energy in that first half that you're sapped come the second half? Because we all know Alabama's not going away, right? Take a look at the game against Texas. Listen, the whole three quarters, Texas, on it. But that fourth quarter, there was a difference maker. Do you have a difference maker?
Tennessee
or
A&M? Texas is a measuring stick. Now it's not like, we beat Texas, and you know what I mean? It is. It's a good measuring stick to find out where you're at. And as far as that win is concerned, that's a good win because it was on the road, real close. You know what I mean? And Alabama did with winning football. Like, he got outmanaged. Mark Houston got out managed, got outmaneuvered, everything.
But you know, I don't think Jonathan. I think you better players win, right? And I just believe that Alabama going into that game, they were behind the eight ball. In my opinion, better players won that game. I don't think it was Sark didn't lose anything. That dude coached his ass off, man. And I just believe that, you know, talent took over at that fourth quarter, and you had a desperation drive, and you made it happen. Your challenge is, though, on the other side with Arkansas, you got guys, they're physical. Watch the line play. You know, Drew, who was our the right outside linebacker for Bama last year, is a leading sacker in college football right now. Did you know? I forget his last name, but his first name is Drew, and he's a leading sacker in college football right now. He's in Arkansas.
Okay. Well, I know Brandon's a little quiet, man, because we ain't talking about Purdue, because they barely got away with it.
What?
Don't get me started on Purdue, Jonathan. You know how I feel.
You want me to get on Clemson? Clemson cost me a $500 bet by a half a point because they don't know how to finish it off.
Brandon, let's sidetrack real quick. Hey, can you post those in the group, man? Because I'm trying to listen. I'm 0-3 this week. I've missed one on a 16, two on a 17-er, and you know how that goes, Brandon. So listen, man, let's share some insight, man. I need a win this weekend. I need a win this weekend, and if it means me doing multiple parlays, I'm down, man.
I got seven games I love, so yes, I will.
Message me up, man, for sure. So listen. Last question, right, or last conversation piece. I know we talked about what we're going to do for October 8th. I'm going to be in Mississippi this weekend for the Arkansas-Alabama game. Are we going to go later on? Are we going to look at the Tennessee game? Or do we want to look at A&M?
When's the Tennessee game?
I want to say, is it the 22nd? Because Arkansas is this weekend. A&M is the 8th. I want to say they are the 22nd.
15th, the following week. Let's do the 15th. Let's do that game.
Okay.
That'll be a good one.
That's going to be tough, man. Okay, I'll make it happen. So 15th, we'll talk it up. We'll message up where we're going to be, what we're going to do. Tell me what we're going to do, and we'll make it happen.
I just hope it's a day game, like at 3:30 or like a 6 o'clock start, because you know Jonathan on Saturday nights usually asleep by 9. So,
man, after Jeopardy go off, man, I'm surprised.
He doesn't have the stamina anymore to stay up for those Pac-12 games.
Hey, with that said, Jonathan, you still owe me a visit to exit 109, man. So I said,
We got it on the calendar.
So we're down for the 15th. You're going to let me know what we're going to do, because we're going to do it live, right? Are we going Facebook Live, or are we going to go in person?
Either or. I think we should do it in person somewhere.
Yeah,
that way we can have some libation. I'm down. Let's make it happen.
All right. We'll get it figured out. 15th. We'll find the place.
Hey, keep me on hold because my internet is kind of a challenge. I want to listen to the show, man, because I love listening.
Talk? No Pacers?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you.
Notre Dame?
No Notre Dame shade, because you know what I think about the coach. But Pacer tickets-wise, Pacers 32-50 this season. I got the schedule. We got some good games, by the way, so we can talk some stuff privately if we want to do some at the Pacer game. We've got a lot of leeway there, just so you guys know. Both of you guys, not one, but both of you guys.
Hey, let me ask you this before we let you go. What do you think of that scene up there in Boston? What's going on with Udoka?
Since you mentioned it, okay.
I'm going to mention
it. I think zero about it. I think the bigger story is Brett Favre stealing from the state of Mississippi. I've got 80% of my family that lives in Mississippi. To hell with Brett Favre and all his legacy. He's a pill-taking phony from day one. No love there at all. I give Boston zero attention. You know why? Because that man cheated on his fiance. He ain't alone, right? I could care less about – I don't like Boston anyway other than Larry Bird, right? So they can go Legend. Jump. It was a bad situation, don't get me wrong. But here's what I'll say to that. He's human. He didn't impact a whole state in his bad behavior. I know that's not a popular take, but that's how I really, really feel, fellas, on that, really.
Right. I got
it. Gotcha.
You know, but again, we'll message up and stuff, right?
So let me ask you this. Let me push a little bit further. I'm going to push the envelope a little bit further.
Uh-oh.
Do you think he should have got suspended for the whole year? I mean,
no, he should have got fired because he fucked the vice president's daughter. Daughter. But
allegedly.
I'm going to count him. He did bad things with VP's wife, right? He should have got fired because you know why? It's going to be a dark cloud over the franchise all season. They came off of a finals loss 4-2. They don't need that, man. They don't need that. Fire him and move on. You can't. What you're saying is, well, I know you did some bad things, but let's talk about it. Because you know what everybody's going to ask the coach after every game? How does it feel replacing Emu or whatever his name is?
You know.
How does it feel? That's bad. And I'm surprising because of being Boston and him being a coach of color. I'm surprised. I'm just being frank about
it. Brandon, I don't know how he kept his job. So,
right?
You know, I just look at it from an HR standpoint. From an HR standpoint, like if you kept your relationship private and it wasn't open about it, like you had something to hide. Like if you didn't. Like, usually, like, there's an HR, usually there's a code of conduct HR, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, two employees, adults, want to see each other after work and be more than just co-workers. Like,
I
want to
see what he signed. What's the code of conduct? If it says in there no relationships or whatever like that, then, yeah, fire him. If it didn't, then.
From an HR, have to be in print, man. It doesn't have to be. Because your behavior is not, you know, is not supportive of the franchise, organization, or the company. So that is bad behavior. So you can terminate a person. I don't know what Massachusetts is, an at-will state. I know Indiana is, and I don't want to get into that stuff. Right. But my point being is behavior was not acceptable within the organization. So that's terminable right there. But the bigger thing for me is, why would you let this guy, who you never loved, coaches of color, and you let him hang around? Why? You're asking. You know why? Because that dude that's in the front office who went to Butler, that's why. Because he's a good dude. That dude's a solid dude, and he wants to give him every chance, but he's making a mistake because all season long the conversation is going to be about this coach, his relationship, and who
he
was.
Right, but when does he come back? Right, when does he come back?
Yeah,
the return.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You got to fire that. And again, I love him, man, but you got to fire him, man.
Right.
And he's got to be able to move on. You can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real perspective, man. I know there's a lot of energy about emotion, but you got to – you listen, love him to death, man, but I love what he did last season. Can't have that hovering because the media on the East Coast is going to rip him apart. When he goes, can you imagine when he goes to Brooklyn, New York, New Jersey, I won't say, but I said Brooklyn for Jonathan. I said Brooklyn for the first time in 3 years, man.
New Jersey.
I appreciate it. A little more respect now.
Yeah, whatever. When he goes to Brooklyn, New York, home games, the organization, it's going to be asked. So you got to cut ties, man. So, but again, it's interesting they did that. But that's a Brad deal, man. Anybody who thinks that's not a Brad deal, it has some problems with him because Brad is that dude. Man. That dude, he's a real dude.
Yeah.
And because he realizes that guy can coach, and he knows if he lets him go, after a couple years, he's going to go somewhere and he's going to be a difference maker. And he doesn't want to let him go, man. That's
all right,
my take on it, man.
Appreciate you calling in, my man. I'll put you back on hold.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, we'll message for the 15th, and we'll make it happen. Jonathan, you better not stand me up either, by the way.
I got you, bud. Oh, man.
I'm watching. Hey, you know East Side got to hang together, man.
Absolutely.
All right,
thanks,
be safe. I
appreciate it. All right, that's our guy, D-Cott. You know, John, here's another thing as well. It takes two to tango. If he's going to get in some trouble for this on his end, I think she should probably too on her end, right?
Yeah, if she's an employee working for the Boston Celtics,
right.
I don't know who's in. If it's a gray area, and if
right.
whatever HR, they both have to be suspended or terminated. I don't understand the suspension. I don't want to go down that road, but in disregard, she would have to be suspended as well.
Bill Russell rolled over in his grave with that.
Man, already.
As Justin Powell says, knee along though.
Don't get caught. Don't cheat. That's how you don't get caught. Don't cheat. Don't get caught.
All right, right. Hey, I want to go to college football next. We're going to have our guy Tanner calling in here soon. The first thing I saw tonight, because I was busy working all day today. First thing I saw tonight, John, why is there a 33,000-person venue and stadium, 33,000-person stadium being built out for Northwestern? Are they even going to be in the Big Ten by the time that thing's built?
Oh, man, Brad, that's a gut punch.
$80 million for this new venue, football field?
They're getting another venue?
It's $33,000 venue. It damn near looks like Minneapolis's stadium, just a miniature version of it. 33,000-person venue.
Well, you know,
can they even get 33,000 people for the season?
You know Greenberg is a booster now.
Okay, but
so,
you didn't get that many people going to a football game for Northwestern?
No. Nah,
even when they were good, they couldn't pull big attendance numbers.
Yeah, they're not. It's not like Stanford. If you compare it to that, that's interesting. That's very, very interesting.
I saw it tonight. I think I tweeted at it. Somebody bitched at me about it, saying, So Northwestern has released early design concepts for the planned $800 million stadium. The new Ryan's Field capacity would be 35,000, more than 12,000. Well, I guess it's smaller. It'd be 35,000, which is 12,000 fewer than the current Ryan Field.
But it's newer.
But it's newer. And it costs $800 million more. That don't make sense.
No, it does not.
And my subtweet was, are they going to be in the Big Ten long enough for that? I mean,
stop it.
You even said
it
yourself. Big Ten's going bigger. So
Big Ten's going bigger. Big Ten's going sexier. Again, Northwestern is a program with a lot of respectability, not necessarily a lot of championships, but a lot of respectability. You know what I'm saying? But not necessarily year over year. They won't leave the Big Ten, man. That's just it, man.
Right. Looking at college football, John, Notre Dame beats down North Carolina. You and me both didn't see that happening at all.
No. I actually kind of thought it would go the other way. I thought that North Carolina would be an offensive juggernaut, that it would jump bad all over Notre Dame, and that wasn't the case, man. Mac Brown, unfortunately, he's got a great offensively minded team, and unfortunately, man, for his team, and I was even saying like the last two seasons, Brandon, they don't know how to stop. He needs to fire whoever's running his defense for him, because they don't know how to stop anything at all. It's like a flag football. It's like not a flag. What was that? What was the Indiana Firebirds? What was that league? The arena league football. Hope you don't hear my dog. But like, no, man, they were like an arena football league. piss poor on defense, man. So like, man, Notre Dame went up there, took care of business. Drew within the 500. They're 2-2 now. It was just like I said, man. It wasn't that. Clearly, Notre Dame has a better defense, and they came up with key stops. But like I said, man, Mac Brown, like if he had a defensive coordinator, man, there was anything that they would probably made some stops and won that game like that, dude. Notre Dame, you got to tip your hat to him, man. I know you were trying to put a lot of dirt on them already, Brandon, and they came through. Again, we're not talking about national championship this year, but
right.
And I'm not no Golden Dome or my damn self, but like, man, you know what I'm saying? That's coming off that California win where it looked a little shaky, to coming off to more dominating win on the road against you know what I'm saying? I would say it's a middling, you know what I'm saying, North Carolina team. I mean, that's still Freeman has to, you know what I'm saying, he'll take that one for sure. You know what I'm saying? A good road victory right there.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. We got our guy here. Let's bring him on real quick. What's going on, Tanner? How are you?
How we doing, fellas? Doing good.
Good, buddy. Good. Good week.
Good week. Needed it. Bounced back. Got to 500 on a little heater.
Oh, yeah.
Had a good betting week. Hit some parlays. I forgot to give them out 2 weeks in a row. I haven't gave them out. Hit 2 5 teamers for cashed them both for over $1,000. Probably should be giving those out. Sorry, listeners. I just hate giving out losers, so I've been tight on my picks, but been playing pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I got clowns that are messaging things, so is what it is. I had some clown shows going on currently. Yeah, exactly right. No, overall it was good. I'm trying to bring up, let's see if I can bring it up real quick. Games last week, gentlemen. We've got we had some good ones last week. Tanner, like I said, you went had a blistering week, going 7-1-1. You've tied me now, 17-17-2. Jonathan went 3-5-1 for 11-23-2. Overall, but over a Jonathan, you get takes 1 week at a time. Ask Tanner after starting that up.
It does. Business. Oh yeah.
So
I threw up a goose egg in week one. Sorry, Lynn,
yeah.
But I'm trying to fight it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Man, I'm Tanner. I'm feeling the effects of Clemson. My goodness, Clemson just that was brutal for me.
I think I used one of those $50 free bets that I got after you and I hit that 5-teamer on there. When
yeah.
you told me sign up for that thing, yeah, I used one of those free bets, and that's what I hit that thing on. I put a 50-leg 5-legger in there.
Yeah, that was
that Clemson
crazy.
Was rough. Yeah, that's a tough. Speaking of, I know I don't want to get in my head myself, but I'm locking them in this week. They're gonna roll. They're gonna pound NC State.
Ooh,
you might want to run it back on the old Tigers.
Oh well, I think they definitely beat them this week, but they scared me enough. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, right. You get burnt by them one time, and then they become my favorite three letters, a DNB, just like Purdue. That's what they are. Do not bet.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm
they're
saying.
They're more so. I'm not picking them the rest of this time and just pick them. Coach Brown, Purdue fans, listen, they can kiss my ass. Not a chance.
Damn.
He might not even make it to week 7. By the time I have to still keep picking against Purdue.
That's,
they've definitely underperformed. I mean, they won the game, but with that quarterback play they have back there, I think they should just be offensively should be doing a lot more than what they are. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
They got a big one this weekend. Yeah, going up to Minnesota.
Minnesota.
That's
no
easy. That's no easy place to play.
You got that, that's
Coach Flex.
Yeah, it's not
Coach
pretty.
Flex done a great job with that program.
He has, yeah, he has. I mean, he's had some down years himself, but overall, he's
right.
He's done all right.
I'm sure he'll always have a job if that team's close to
but
500
isn't this,
or in the top 25. He's gonna have a job there no matter what.
Well, Brandon, is this one of our game pick 'em game this weekend?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Do you want to go ahead and start it?
Well, let's go ahead and start it, man, because I think they're gonna get the score run up on them. But wasn't Coach Fleck at one point like a rumor to be with Purdue?
It was possible, yes.
When he transitioned from Central Michigan. Yeah.
Right. It might have been – he might have been probably thought about maybe when – I don't know if it was when Fromm thought about going to Louisville or something. He might have
right.
been in that mix.
Right. That's what I'm –
Yeah,
what
no,
I'm
I think Minnesota dog walks him. I really do. There's my pick on that one. I won't even – I don't have anything else to say. Purdue, you pissed me off. Fuller, I've gave you enough shout-out. They pissed me off. Never betting on them. I can't wait till the basketball season comes around. I'm going to fade their ass again. Done with Purdue.
Damn.
Oh, man, Brandon.
All right,
Brandon, I got to go with Minnesota, man.
All right, I'm going Minnesota as well to cover, so that's three Minnesotas. So, crazy. You know what that usually means, and that's going to mean Purdue's going to cover this game.
Yeah.
If you want.
Yeah, exactly. We all three took Purdue last week, and it burned. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. I'll just take this L in stride, but still, I got my frustrations out
right.
on right there, so yeah.
Northern Illinois -3.5 at Ball State. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
And I've been on a little fade train of Ball State, and I'm going to continue it. I think Northern Illinois, they played Kentucky really good. If Ball State was in that same spot last week, I think they lose by 33. So Northern Illinois coming in there at Ball State. It's kind of a rivalry there, small one, both in the MAC West. I think Northern Illinois is too strong unless they just have a little hangover, which I probably don't see them from that Kentucky game playing the way they played them really close game last week. Give me the Huskies.
Okay. John?
Tanner, my kinfolk was out here spoiling Ball State season. That's my kinfolk, man. I don't know how he's related, but the Berthon fella that plays, we'll figure it out, man. I got to get my sister to look up the genealogy and who we're related to down there. And I think he's from, like, Duluth, Georgia, or somewhere apart around those parts, something like that, man. But, nah, man, I was a little disappointed. I took Ball State this past weekend. Shame on me. I'm going to take Ball State again. Northern, but like Tanner said, Northern Illinois and them are a little bit somewhat of a MAC rivals. Like, year over year, it kind of goes back and forth between those two programs. I think in the last few years anyway, Ball State has kind of got the one up on Northern Illinois as far as the one loss rate is concerned, man. Man, versus like the opponents, man, Northern Illinois has probably played a little bit stronger schedule with the exception of Ball State, you know what I'm saying, getting blowed out against Tennessee. Man, it's gonna be a close one, man, but I think I like Ball State. I'm gonna go with Ball State.
Okay.
Hey, Reed, you remember when Garrett Wolf was on Northern Illinois and they came in at Ball State and he ran for like 321 on our ass?
Yes. Yeah.
Probably.
I tried to forget about that.
Golly, I think it started raining or something. That game might have got delayed and it started back up. I think he had more yards after the delay. He ran all over. So it was one of the worst beatdowns I've seen.
Right. Yeah, you ain't wrong on that. So,
yeah.
One I like here, Michigan, #4 Michigan, 11-point favorites at Iowa. Guys, this Michigan offense can score. This Michigan defense can step up. It's 11 points. I can just see Iowa shitting the bed again at home. I can see it being a 21-3 or a 24-6 score. I got Michigan minus 11.
I'm with you. I'm going to make it quick. I think Michigan's playing too well. I know Iowa has great defense, but they're not scoring more, and I'll give them 13. I'd like to see what that team total comes out for Iowa, because I'm probably going to hammer the under. Yeah, I don't care if this game's daytime, nighttime, kids are watching whatnot from the hospital. Wolverines are going to come down there and put a beat down on the Hawkeyes come Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, fellas, I like Michigan to beat Iowa. The best Iowa team I think we saw in the last three or four seasons was probably last year, and a lot of those guys are not there anymore. So different team. They can't score. They've been struggling to score pretty much all this season. It's not like Michigan is just. I think Michigan. Here's what I say. I think Michigan is just a better overall football team than Iowa is right now. I'm not necessarily a believer in Michigan. I know even though I do have them in my top 10, they won't get tested. I mean, they haven't necessarily been tested this season, my personal opinion. I don't think they have been tested at all this season. But we'll have some big boys out there that will give them some resistance probably in the first half or so. But I think it's not even close. And like I said, Michigan kind of blows it open. In the second half, so give me Michigan.
Okay. Next one, number 7, Kentucky, at number 14, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 6.5-point favorites at home against Kentucky. John, you want to go first?
Hey, Ole Miss undefeated, too?
They are.
Guys down there, old L train.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Could go either way, but I think the odds favor Kentucky. I think Kentucky. I think Ole Miss takes their first loss this weekend. I like Kentucky on this one.
You got Kentucky then. All right, Tanner.
I got Kentucky.
I like Kentucky too. They've looked good. They played good against Florida down there. Beat them. Look good. I mean, they had a little. I think last week was a little trap game for them. So Northern Illinois played them a little tougher because they were looking ahead to this Ole Miss game. But they survived that game and moved on. That's what you got to do sometimes is just survive and advance to the next game. But I like Coach Stoops down there. I think this defense is pretty good, which will help them because both teams could score. I mean, I think both of them have a decent offense. Ole Miss is running the ball really well this year. They're getting like 280 yards rushing a game. So UK's going to have to step that. Going to have that run defense on lock. But I think UK can get it together and keep it. I think you got it at 6.5. I see it at 7. I'll take my chances at 6.5. Give me the points with Kentucky.
Okay. I'm going to take Ole Miss to cover. I know it's probably not the sexiest pick here, but Lane Kiffin did a press conference yesterday or so, and he was the most dejected thing, talking about, well, I mean, it looks like a high school because you got maybe half the stadium. He challenged the fans to show up and shell out this Saturday, saying he's done all he can do and he doesn't understand it and all that. So that was a bit like a personal challenge to the fans to get their asses to the game. I think they're going to come out and play well. I think Ole Miss covers this. They watch them win by like 10 or even watch them win by 7. Give me that 7. Give me that hook. Put the hook in my favor this time. I'll take an Ole Miss.
Hey, not to change it. Has anybody seen those Rose Bowl attendance at UCLA? It's bad. They're trying to build a new stadium. They can't even get anybody in there. They're trying to build they play 45 minutes away from campus. That's one problem.
Right.
And then I've just seen it. I mean, they're not like they used to be, but that Rose Bowl, I bet you it's 10% full at this UCLA games. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, from a campus that big, you would think they'd show out, but they can't even get that thing half full. IU's got more fans going to a football game than UCLA.
Uh-oh.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Number 22, Wake Forest at number 23, Florida State. Florida State is 7-point favorites in this one. Tanner, I'll let you go first.
I'm going to take the dog here, too. Wake Forest really impressed me last week, what they did. Clemson hanging in there. They had a chance in overtime, got it there, had a chance. Could have got there. I think they're better than this Florida State team. So I watched Florida State a couple times. I'm not super impressed with them yet. And I like that Hartman, that quarterback for Wake Forest. He's impressed me. I think he can play at the next level. He can throw it. So give me the Demon Deacons and the points.
Okay. I like that. Tanner, or excuse me, Jonathan.
Brandon, Sam Waterman should be top three in the Heisman.
You mean Hartman, not Waterman?
Damn it. Hartman. Shame on me. He should be top three in Heisman talks. If not, potentially somebody first round, maybe late first round draft pick next year. You know what I'm saying? He's putting up some incredible numbers from the quarterback position. This is his last season. I do believe it's his fifth because he took a COVID year, right?
Uh-huh.
Brandon. Yep. I mean, if without him, they have a legit backup too. But I think, you know what I'm saying, he's a difference maker for them, right? He put up five touchdowns,
yeah.
I think. Put up five touchdowns last week against Clemson. It's kind of sick, Brandon. To the point, if you're a Colts fan, you're like, man, what would that look like, you know what I'm saying, with a young kid like that? You know what I'm saying? Learning curve, right? But, like, you'd rather take the learning curve now than next year, you know what I'm saying, with a kid like him. But, like, nah, man, I'm impressed with Wake Forest. I'm impressed with Wake Forest when they play teams like they're going to match up this weekend. Not necessarily teams that they have to play. Could they put up 30 or 20 points against the SEC team? Sure. Could they win against Alabama or Georgia? No. I think they come up short, just like they came up short against Clemson. But this weekend, I kind of like them. So give me Wake Forest.
Okay. Okay. I like Wake Forest as well in this. I think.
Whoa.
I'm gonna take
what
them.
Going on?
What?
Got a kid.
Everybody's agreeing again, man. What's going on here?
I think Wake Forest covered, bro.
I
get the field goal game.
They will.
Trying to make some money.
They will.
Alabama, number 2 Alabama, 17.5-point favorites at Arkansas. Number 20, Arkansas. Arkansas's got to have a bounce back after last week. I'll go first on this one. Whew, Alabama's on the road, 17.5 covering. Give me Arkansas on the points.
Wow, Brandon, really?
I'm going to snap call Brandon, too, because I wanted to go first, too, and said pick Suey all the way, baby. Give me 17 and a hook down there.
Thank you. Arkansas, hey, good
season.
Man, it's going to be
John Daly's going to be out there. I hope John Daly's the college Dame game picker. He's probably going to have 1,700 Miller Lights by noon. He's going to be feeling good. Arkansas's going to be ready to play. They might lose by 14, but that's a cover in my mind. So, yeah, give me the Hogs.
All right, Brandon. Dude, I'm going Alabama, man.
Alabama? Okay.
I'm going with Alabama, yeah.
He says give me Alabama. Number 9, Oklahoma State at number 16, Baylor. Baylor, 2.5-point favorites at home against the number 9th ranked team in the country. Jonathan.
Where's the game at again? Tell me one more time.
It's at Baylor.
It's at Baylor. Can they bounce back? They've had some lacklusters here. They started off hot. They started off in the top 10. Can they bounce back, man? Yeah. I'm gonna give them credit, man. If it's being a home game, I'm gonna take Baylor.
Okay.
I like Baylor too. I'll snap it real quick. I don't know where we're at. I like Baylor. They played a tough environment. BYU is a hard place to play. Their fans always get up for that. They got a road loss there. But being just a short, they can win by a field goal.
I like Baylor there.
It's going to be a tough game. But if just being a short favorite like that, I like that in my side. I mean, you're pretty much counting on Oklahoma to win the game. And I think Baylor's tough, real tough. I've watched them play at home. They're hard to play there. So, I think the Bears can cover the 2.5 at home. Go ahead, Reef.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State just because I think the world may burn down if we take another team all the way across together. So I'm going to take Oklahoma State, even though I hate it. I'll take it, and we'll go from there.
I'll let you change it before kickoff if you need to.
I appreciate that. I'll let you know if I need a late change.
Yeah.
We'll go number 10, NC State, at number 5, Clemson. Clemson, 6.5-point favorites. Tanner, I know you said it earlier, but we'll let you go first.
Yeah, I think they kind of looked ahead. They had a tough game last week with Wake Forest out there. They survived mm-hmm. what they needed to do. I think they bounced back at home, coming down, running down that hill, Dabo gets them ready. I mean, that environment's one of the great places to play football at. I know NC State's coming in hot at number 10. I just think
they are.
And their defense is going to be too tough for them there. I think they can get them. If it's still being under a touchdown, I like the 6.5 on my side. Give me Clemson all day.
Yep. Okay.
Brandon, tell me who is NC State beating? Have they beaten Oregon? They beat Oregon.
I got their schedule right here.
I thought they beat Oregon. Have they beaten anybody of significant note? Right? You mean to tell me I'm supposed to believe they're going down to Clemson?
Week one, they barely beat East Carolina. East Carolina actually went for two to beat them.
Correct.
I watched that game. They won 21-20. Then they played another cupcake, played Charleston Southern, won 55-3. They beat Texas Tech 27-14. Decent win.
That's where they got their stripes. And then
they went and played old Jim Mora in Connecticut, still at home, 41, beat them 41-10. So they really
That's
haven't
what
had
I'm
a
saying.
True test game, and their true test game, first one's going to be number 5 Clemson. I think they just get ran right out of that damn stadium.
Brandon, I appreciate Tanner for breaking that out. I knew they played UConn, man. Anybody's beating UConn, and that includes even Michigan too, man. I can't – like, that's a game off right there, man. I can't even count that as a game, dude. That's not even a scrimmage, okay? So I appreciate Brandon, because Brandon preseason, man, when Brandon preseason talked, man, he has shouted out North Carolina State because they have had some improvements, man. I mean, just because it's a cupcake,
yeah.
You still got to eat it. You still got to eat it. You still got to go down there and beat it. They dominate.
Yeah, you got to win the games that are put in front of
right.
you.
Right. And you got to tip your cap to that. But, you know, a tough one, a close one, Eastern Carolina, and I'm supposed to take you for serious on the road against Clemson? Never. That's not going to happen. They're going to get blown out the waters, man. but this will be their grand coronation, like welcome to the ACC elite. You know what I'm saying? This is you know what I'm saying, this is you. Welcome to the party. You know what I mean? But this is your good whooping. Now that's what's gonna happen Saturday. A good whooping.
I got Clemson as well. So I think Clemson, they need to, I will not put money on it, but for this sake I am taking Clemson.
They need a good statement win. This would be a good statement win for Clemson. They need it.
It will be.
Yeah, it would be for sure. I still don't trust the quarterback. I really don't.
And you know where Clemson goes? Hey, Reed, you know where Clemson goes next week and they have the hardest time there? Boston College.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't they get beat by them? I think before, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
They haven't.
So
they got
beat by Syracuse.
It's where people go to lose national championships. Ask Notre Dame. Ask Clemson. You just go play Boston College on the road and you get beat.
All right, exactly. Last one, boys. Tough one for you, Jonathan. I know your heartstrings are getting tugged at this one. Indiana at Nebraska. Nebraska minus 4.5-point favorites. I'll rip out the first one on this one. Give me the Cornhuskers to cover the 4.5.
Stop it. Stop.
Yeah. I haven't even had to hit Brandon with a not so fast today because he's hit everyone and I've just snap call everyone that I know Brandon's gonna hate. I'm snap calling that Husker game too. I'm saying Corn Huskers by at least 7 minimum.
Jonathan, your pick.
That is an uninspired football team. Everybody's gonna be out on the transfer portal.
They're going to have a new coach. It might be Urban Meyer. It's probably not going to be Urban Meyer. It might be Matt Rhule. Who knows, man? But it's going to be somebody new, right? Nebraska's got to get back to its final glory, man. They not taking – but that team that lost to Georgia State 2 weeks ago
Southern.
Is not beat.
It was Georgia Southern.
I'm sorry, yeah, Georgia yeah. Southern. They're not losing. Yeah, they're not beating IU, man. IU at least got some legs out there in wide out. IU got a guy, you know what I'm saying, a kid. I don't necessarily believe him in any
IU was
IU.
Getting beat by Idaho.
He couldn't. The quarterback, you know what I'm saying, couldn't hold the Heisman camera, much less the Heisman trophy. Okay? So, but they got, man, give me Tom Allen and the Hoosiers, man. I'm not going with a team Nebraska that doesn't they ain't going nowhere fast. They just there to, you know what I'm saying? They probably still feed them good, you know what I'm saying, at the cafeteria.
I've been waiting to say this all day. IU hasn't seen a stadium full of this kind of red since Bob
Knight
with the Hoosiers.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
When they go in there to that stadium and there's 70,000 to 80,000 fat Cornhuskers because there's nothing else in those damn states. And it's football only. They're going to just give IU an ass pounding like they've never
My
had.
My goodness. What Martinez is a quarterback in this weekend?
I think it's Crouch.
That's a joke.
I wish it was the one from K-State because he lit up Oklahoma's ass.
Yeah.
Goodness
the
gracious.
The one that was there before, if you didn't see. Yeah. Went in there. And they beat them on the road. That game was one of the best games of last weekend that I watched. K-State looked real good.
Yeah, they did, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right. Anything else you got?
I got IU.
No, hold on. Let me see if I like anything. I'm still alive in this survivor pool. I'm trying to
hey,
stay
I took,
good again.
I took Colts money okay. line and spread last week.
That's a good hit, bub.
Thank you.
That's a good
I needed
hit.
One. I needed one after the Clemson debacle.
Yeah, what was I look at? Yeah, I don't want to burn up. I mean, I got the Eagles at the Jags this week, or I could take – what else did I see in there? Packers got the somebody shitty. Mm. Packers got the Patriots.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I don't want to – but it's – for a lot of money, so I don't know who else I would take to save a team. So, got to think on it. Try to think what bet I like in here
no
to
worries.
Give out for our listeners. I think Raiders -2.5. Broncos are the worst 2-1 team I've ever seen. I think Raiders win this week. They're 0-3. They're at home, laying 2.5 against the Broncos. For your listeners out there, give me the Raiders.
Ooh.
And that Chiefs-Bucks game, keep an eye on the Chiefs. If that game gets moved out of Tampa and they have to play at Miami or Minnesota, I'd kind of like the Chiefs because then they're on the getting it on a neutral field. Those are just a couple things I'll throw out there for Sunday. That's all I got.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds good, Tanner. Thank you. Good luck this weekend,
yeah.
And we'll be chatting.
Yeah, we'll be in chat. I'll try to put out some picks this week on Saturday. I like betting a little bit more college than I do the NFL. So I'll throw some picks out there and put the Crossroads Sports in there and tag them so we can get those things flowing out there.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's hopefully Judge hits a bomb sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, come on, man.
We need
one
it.
Time.
All right. See you, buddy.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk soon. You guys have a good evening, good week, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Tanner.
All right.
Perfect. That's our guy, Tanner Penrod, calling us once again with his picks, our college pick'em. Picks will be up on the website as well as the Facebook page as of tomorrow for the weekend. So we will do that and more. Jonathan, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can. My screen locked up, so that's where I was a little trying to figure out what was going on. Let's see here. I want to thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, as well as Wiseman Logistics. without those three, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. We want to thank those sponsors for what they do with us. So shout out them, State Farm Insurance, Scott K. Nichols, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics, all three of those. Thank you once again. John, a couple last things I got real quick. Let's see. NBA related, real quick. Memphis, and well, I guess college related. Memphis and Penny Hardaway got cleared by the NCAA, so no issues there for them going into the next season.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, he's trying to start something special down there in Memphis at his alma mater, man. He's basically a walking, talking legend, right? Pipeline, NBA level guys that he used for in recruiting. So, and I get it, man. Why they would be a specter of what's going on and impropriety when you have such a high profile kind of personality like that. But I also get the idea that Penny Hardaway is also a high quality character guy. Like, he actually wants to be the coach. He wants to be the first. You know, he wants to be the coach that wins the national championship for Memphis. So, and you don't get that by shortcutting or cheating or circumventing the rules. You just don't. As much as I kind of tease and poke and prod and laugh at or send you innuendos about those programs that cheat or, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. You know what I'm saying. For the most part, you know what I'm saying, teams aren't out here like outright cheating, right? So, but again, you know what I'm saying, he has had some issues with players, whether it was Amani Bates and high profile players, you know what I'm saying, not meshing with his system, or people from the outside questioning his coaching abilities, man. So, you know, it's good to at least that, and that's those things still would be in question. If you have a kid that's a knucklehead, or if you go on a 6-game losing streak and you got 4 lottery picks, man, people are still going to question that. But at least now, at least with this last accusation, that's kind of, you know, put aside, and he's clear, man. And hey, man, Penny Hardaway is running a clean program. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Brandon, with our relationship ties that we have with Memphis, we want him to get on the show, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, right.
Absolutely. Any last things for you, John, before we go?
No, man. I think we had a great show, man. I've been loving. We could deep dive more into some more football, man. I encourage anybody, you know what I'm saying, to listen to the show. If you don't, chime in on Facebook Live. Call into the show, man. You know what I'm saying? The phone number is Crossroads Sports. Hold on, Brandon. Give us the real phone number. I don't want to mess it up.
929-477-3331.
Right. People just call into the show, man, and give us your sports take, man. You know what I'm saying? We like this. You know, it ain't always got to be about the Colts or the Steelers or whoever, the Jets. You know what I'm saying? It could be about your favorite team. But, like, no, man, great. Thanks for D-Cott for calling in, man. D-Cott always dropping dimes and also getting his own little stuff in, man. D-Cott loves Alabama. And we love giving him a hard time about his Alabama fandom, man. But, like, man, great talking with him. Great talking with Tanner as well, man. Tanner knows about some college football, man. Tanner spends a lot of Saturday afternoon just, you know what I'm saying, scanning those programs, man, up and down the channel, man. His quality knowledge, man. And he takes it personal, man, when he doesn't get quality bets right. No, excuse me, not quality bets, but get the bet right, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cover right. So like, man, no, it's a great synergy we had tonight, man. Brandon, I mean, I can't wait to do it all again, man. So, again, thanks, everybody, for listening, man.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Looks like we're having sounding issues with it. So, thanks again. We'll see you guys all again next week. Take care.